This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. President Biden said just a little bit earlier this afternoon that he believes that Russian President Vladimir Putin has already made the decision to attack Ukraine. It could happen in the next several days. While Russia claimed it has pulled back some of its military forces from the border, U.S. intelligence says otherwise that more troops have actually been brought in. Yesterday, Secretary of State Antony Blinken spoke to the U.N. Security Council, saying this is a crisis that affects everyone.
The basic principles that sustain peace and security, principles that were enshrined in the wake of two world wars and a Cold War, are under threat. The principle that one country cannot change the borders of another by force. The principle that one country cannot dictate another's choices or policies or with whom it will associate. The principle of national sovereignty.
John Reuter is an associate professor of political science at UW-Milwaukee. He's also a senior researcher for the Higher School of Economics in Moscow. John, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, no one, I think, can read Putin's mind here. What you're seeing now, what do you think the intentions, the Russian intentions are with this troop buildup on the border with Ukraine?
Yeah, actually, I think that his intentions are pretty clear. He's trying to get concessions out of the West, and specifically to prevent Ukraine from becoming more integrated into the West politically, militarily, economically, and even culturally. That's his main goal. And I think this military buildup is what we might call coercive diplomacy. It's a way to use the threat of an invasion, and maybe even an invasion itself, in order to get a broader set of concessions from the West.
As people try to read Putin, there's everything from he is a chess master who is playing a long game to he is an impulsive gambler who may not know what he wants to do tomorrow. Is there a truth on either side of that?
Well, you know, yes. And I think the irony is that having an image as an impulsive gambler can help you when it comes to international relations to achieve strategic aims. And so I think that by appearing somewhat impulsive or hard to predict, that helps him at the negotiating table. But stepping back a bit, I do see what's happening in Ukraine right now as part of Russia's broader geopolitical aims in the region. I would be hesitant to reduce it simply to one man's kind of Putin's aims and goals in Ukraine.
How do you spell out those aims? What is the goal here? Apart from what you said already about Ukraine and NATO and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, that is the goal. And what I mean is that Ukraine is more than just a piece of territory to Russia. Ukraine has special historical, cultural, symbolic importance to Russia. Of course, it was part of the Soviet Union, but it was also before that a core part of the Russian Empire for much of Russian history. There has, in the minds of most Russians, and to some extent many Ukrainians, there wasn't much distinction between these two countries. And that's not true to the same degree for certainly for other countries in Eastern Europe or Central Europe that joined NATO after the end of the Cold War. And it's not even really true to the same extent for many of the other countries in the former Soviet Union, for instance, the Baltics, which have since joined NATO. And so in Putin, and I think many Russians' minds, it does constitute something of a red line for them when they see Ukraine becoming more integrated into the West. So militarily, that means, you know, Ukrainian military doing joint drills with NATO countries, and of course the ultimate red line for Russia would be Ukraine joining NATO itself. But also, they see Ukraine becoming more more Western, you know, and I think there's a concern about Western or Ukraine becoming more democratic, becoming economically integrated into the EU at some point in the distant future. And so I think what's going on is that at this point, Putin sees an opportunity to at least slow that process down.
to the extent we can gauge public opinion in Russia, you said many Russians would agree that there's some kind of special relationship between Russia and Ukraine. Do you have a sense that they would support a military invasion of Ukraine to back that up?
It's complicated, as everything always mm-hmm. is, and the answer is yes and no. The no part of the answer is that polls consistently show that there is not an appetite among Russians for a full-scale invasion of Ukraine or sending troops into Ukraine. Similarly, you can look at polls going back decades now indicating that there's not strong support for annexing Ukraine as a whole and reintegrating into some, you know, Soviet Union redux. However, you know, Russia is an autocracy, and public opinion tends to be malleable in an autocracy like Russia, where the state has a lot of control over people's media diet. And so, you know, it's quite possible that if the Kremlin is able to manufacture a pretext for a military incursion, that public opinion could shift and become supportive of an invasion.
Talking to John Reuter from UW-Milwaukee, looking at the latest news from Russia and Ukraine. You mentioned, John, trying to manufacture a pretext. The reports are now that a lot of Russian media, state-controlled media, are airing what claim to be images of some kind of Ukrainian genocide against Russian speakers in the Donetsk region, disputed currently by a rebel enclave, I guess, within Ukraine. What are you watching for that internal propaganda campaign?
Yeah, I mean, specifically on that genocide point, and this is a term that I think the Russian government overuses. I mean, they use it, and I don't even think they mean it to mean what we usually in common English parlance associate it with. But in terms of the false flag operation that is undoubtedly going on right now. So right now, as we speak, there are explosions going off in the major cities in the Donbass, and Russian media is claiming that these are terrorist attacks that are being undertaken by Ukrainian armed forces and Ukrainian special forces. It's almost certainly the case that that's not true. The biggest sign we've seen just in the past 24 hours that there may be some incursion that's imminent is that the leaders of the separatist regions, this Russian-backed separatist regions, they've called for an evacuation of civilians from these regions. And as we speak, buses are being loaded with civilians heading off to Russia. The reasoning for this evacuation is that Ukraine is about to attack. That's so they say. That seems very unlikely. So it does appear that this would be the type of pretext that Russia would use to engage militarily. However, I would emphasize that invasion is not a binary. Mm-hmm. Given the complicated geopolitical situation in this part of the world, invasion is not a binary choice. What you could see, especially initially, is Russia introducing forces just into the Donbass region, which it had already de facto controlled through its proxies there. And in fact, even though it hadn't admitted it, it already has troops on the ground in that region. So I would expect if there's an incursion, that would be the first stage of it. And that would be then launch the next stage of diplomacy.
Are there specific concessions that you think the West might reasonably make here and that Ukrainian leadership might reasonably make here that would satisfy Russia's demands short of a partial or total invasion?
I think there are. But I doubt that the West is going to make those concessions. So Russia's opening demands were quite extreme. You know, they were demands that NATO put in writing that Ukraine would never be allowed to enter NATO, and that would be in direct contravention of NATO's open door policy, which says that any country that wants to join NATO, if it meets the requirements, should be allowed to join NATO. And so, you know, that would NATO, of course, has been hesitant to make that concession because it would amount to NATO allowing Russia to dictate its own policies. With respect to Ukraine, though, there's also an element of things that Ukraine could concede, but I doubt they will. The main one would be to implement the main elements of the Minsk Accords, Minsk II Accords, which were peace accords that brought an end to the, or ceasefire to the fighting in the Donbass. And the main part of those peace accords that Ukraine has not implemented is to pass a new constitution, which would decentralize political authority and give more political authority to political independence to the Donbass region. Now, I don't think it's necessary that Ukraine or NATO makes such large concessions for there to be a diplomatic solution to this. I mean, I think it's clear that was Russia's opening bid, and Russia does seem keen to engage in negotiations. And I feel quite certain negotiations will continue, and some sort of concessions will be made, but not those large concessions.
In our last minute or so, John, as you're watching this, are there things that you think we are either getting wrong or overlooking here in the U.S., maybe especially what you're seeing in the media?
I would say the role of Russian public opinion is really important here. Russia, even though it's an autocracy, the Kremlin is sensitive to public opinion because Putin's power to a large degree depends upon him remaining popular. And so there's been lots of instances in the past when the Kremlin has not pursued a particular policy course because there's been public outcry against it, or they predicted there would be public outcry against it. And so I do think that is a constraint on their behavior, that one of the reasons why they couldn't simply launch, or I don't think they would just simply launch tomorrow a full-scale invasion of Ukraine, as I think that would be quite shocking and upsetting to many Russians at this moment.
John, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's John Reuter, Associate Professor of Political Science at UW-Milwaukee. We talked to him about Russia's latest military movements and statements about Ukraine and what could be coming next. Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive. Molly Stentz joins me as a WPR listener. You know you're always going to hear something interesting when you tune in to Central Time. It's all thanks to you and your support. Listeners provide the biggest share of funding for WPR programs. When you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this program and everything else you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio possible.
And Rob, some breaking news here. We have heard from 11 listeners with gifts to the drive. Thank you so much. We have met our goal. Let's keep the momentum going for the last few minutes of this hour. Make your donation at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
That last conversation, we talked about one of the big international issues going on, U.S. playing a big role with Russia and Ukraine. Heard a perspective from a Wisconsin expert with a lot of insight into the situation, wrapped up with a question I love to ask. What are we? I often include me. What are we in the media overlooking? What do we need to know that maybe we're not talking about? It's an example of the kind of conversation you're going to hear every day on Central Time.
It's so important, and it's made possible because of you. WPR is listener supported. It's your donation at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. You are making conversations like this possible. Choose an amount that works for you. Make a gift.
Today, we're bringing back the USA-made WPR long-sleeve shirt. It has a light blue Wisconsin-inspired design on a soft navy shirt, perfect for all of your favorite winter activities. Ask for your long-sleeve shirt when you make your gift of $20 a month or more right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
My name is Silke Schmidt. I am originally from Germany, and we've lived in Madison since January 2012. For me, radio is really a way to get information. In general, I just really enjoy the variety. I feel like, especially if you're a newcomer to Wisconsin, listening to WPR is just a really good way to be introduced to the state.
Make your contribution today because listener support makes Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Give now at WPR.org and click donate.
You can make that donation online at WPR.org. You can also call 888-202-2552 to make your donation. In support of the programs you count on, it's Central Time. Rob Ferret here with Molly Stentz. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. Whether you give $10 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we really do count on your gift.
If you've already renewed, thank you so much. Listeners who renew and monthly sustainers, you are the backbone of WPR.
If you haven't given yet, join thousands of other Wisconsin Public Radio members by donating at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When you support WPR, it's an investment that gives back. Whether it's the reliable news that you count on, the interesting statewide conversations that you hear, whatever your reason is for listening and supporting WPR, this is a no-risk investment. If you've never given before, become our next new member right now.
Listener support is the largest piece of funding that makes all these programs you enjoy possible. It's a simple equation. We're here because you're here, because you listen, and because you give. Make your first ever gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Let's blow this goal out of the water. Just two more minutes to hear from you, our listener power. 888-202-2552.
If you are a sustaining member, thank you so much. Maybe increase your support today by $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose. You can set that up at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Anne in Eau Claire says, I've been listening to public radio since my college days when I discovered this new, fact-filled, and interesting radio station while flipping through the stations 50 years ago. Thanks for being a part of my life for such a long time. Thank you, Anne, for being a part of Wisconsin Public Radio.
How about you? Whether you've been listening for decades or days, make your gift to keep it coming now and on into the future. Choose an amount that works for you and then make your very important gift. Online takes just a few minutes at WPR.org, or you can call 888-202-2552. And thanks. Thank you so much for your support.